Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 45 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
The allegation suggests that there is a victim out there.
Kentucky's Attorney General says the focus of the Senate House sexual harassment scandal should be victim-centered.
The FBI is looking into accusations of whistleblower retaliation.
The U.S. House passed a bill to refinance the Children's Health Insurance Program, but hasn't made way for financing.
A former Fayette County clerk has been indicted.
The Rowan County Community Fund is hoping for help with a challenge grant.
In sports, MSU's basketball team is looking to learn from Monday night's exhibition win.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy tonight with lows around 37. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky's Attorney General is calling for more focus on the victims of sexual harassment than on the politicians who are accused of wrongdoing. Attorney General Andy Beshear spoke with Spectrum News Pure Politics in the wake of a confidential sexual harassment settlement, which led to Representative Jeff Hoover resigning from his position as Speaker of the House. Beshear believes that the House situation is the latest reminder of a big problem in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, which needs attention, and that is sexual abuse of all kinds.
We in Kentucky have a rape culture. It's hard to hear, but our statistic is 1 in 2. Nearly 1 in 2 Kentucky women will be subjected to some form of sexual violence in their lifetime, and that's before we even get to harassment. We have a problem in Kentucky and across this country, and the fact that people are being more vocal, that people are being held accountable, is a good thing.
Beshear's office is also keeping a close eye on any possible whistleblower retaliation in the House.
The FBI is now looking into accusations of whistleblower retaliation amid allegations of sexual harassment within the Kentucky House of Representatives. MSPR's Sean Delaney has more.
The Lexington Herald Leader is reporting that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is reviewing details surrounding the ongoing harassment scandal within the General Assembly. Their inquiry involves the House Republican Communications Director, Daisy Olivo. She claims her superiors stripped her of her duties after she reported a, quote, toxic work environment, unquote, to the Legislative Research Commission last week. Olivo added that she was isolated by GOP leaders after she passed along a fellow employee's concerns to former House Speaker Jeff Hoover in September. Hoover stepped down from his post on Sunday after he admitted to settling with a confidential staffer who accused him of engaging in inappropriate conversations over text message. For WMKY News, I'm Sean Delaney.
A Carter County lawmaker wants to proceed with caution when it comes to a proposed new constitutional amendment. Senator Whitney Westerfield plans to refile Marcy's Law during the 2018 session. Spectrum News Pure Politics reports if the law passes, the issue would be put on the ballot in the form of a constitutional amendment that would give crime victims the equivalent level of legal protection as those who are accused and convicted. Grayson Democrat Robin Webb says she takes exception to some of Westerfield's plan.
When we have a bill, I'd like to have an exhaustive committee hearing about the provisions of each provision and every paragraph of that bill as we go through so we can understand and look at the potential ramifications of the language of this and what is truly needed and what is already existing.
Webb says she feels the legislature has done a good job of protecting victims from the accused.
The leader of the state's school superintendents is hoping pension reform will be addressed soon. Tom Shelton is the executive director of the Kentucky Association of School Superintendents. Governor Matt Bevin bashed him for sending an email to all of the state's superintendents calling for teachers and administrators to rally to be part of pension reform. Shelton tells Spectrum News Pure Politics the state has 8 different pension systems, all with different levels of funding.
Well, you've got some as low as in the 20s in their percentile of funding, all the way up to some in the 60s. Why would you apply the same fix to such a different range of issues? You know, it's hard for me to understand a situation where someone breaks a finger as compared to breaking their arm, as compared to breaking their leg, that a doctor would treat them all the same way.
Shelton says he hopes the legislature will look at a shared responsibility model for pension reform. Bevin has not yet set a date for a special session to address the pension crisis.
Meanwhile, Kentucky's attorney general has sued a pharmaceutical company he says directly contributed to more than 190 opioid overdose deaths in the state. Andy Beshear filed a lawsuit yesterday against Endo Pharmaceuticals and Endo Health Solutions concerning the opioid prescription drug Opana ER. The company announced it would stop selling the drug in July after the USDA requested that it be taken off the market. Beshear says Endo specifically targeted military veterans when promoting the drug and knowingly misrepresented its safety.
At each juncture, Endo put its profits above the lives of our people and above patient safety. And rather than help limit the opioid epidemic by reporting potential diversion through illicit prescribing, as it is obligated to do under federal and state law, Endo looked the other way. All the while, Kentuckians were dying. They do not care. They still don't care. But we do.
Endo's executive vice president responded to Beshear's comments, calling them patently offensive. Beshear says this is just one of many lawsuits he will file against opioid manufacturers.
The man accused of pushing a woman off a cliff and then killing her 5-year-old child has pleaded not guilty in the case. According to LEX 18, Lonnie Belt entered the plea in Jackson District Court. Belt is accused of the murder of James Spoonamore after an altercation with his mother over an alleged theft of $200. Dozens of emergency workers spent days looking for the boy, only to find his body about a half mile from where his mother was rescued. Kentucky State Police detectives testified that Belt beat James to death with a metal object. Police say that Belt did not want to leave a witness after the brutal beating of the boy's mother. The judge ruled that there was probable cause for the murder and assault charges. Belt is being held on a $1 million bond.
A former Fayette County deputy clerk has been indicted on 10 counts of tampering with public records. WKYT reports James Blythe allegedly altered traffic citations and kept the money that was supposed to be used as payment. As a result, he's now obligated to pay over $2,000 in restitution to the Fayette County District Court. Blythe is scheduled for arraignment on November 17th.
Kentucky State Police have identified a sheriff's deputy who fired shots, hitting a suspect as detectives were attempting to serve a warrant. State Police identified the McCracken County deputy as Detective Ryan Norman, a 10-year veteran law enforcement officer. Norman is on paid administrative leave, which is common procedure following a shooting involving an officer. State Police said in a news release that the suspect, Thomas Myers, remains in critical but stable condition at a local hospital. He was served yesterday by State Police with the warrant charging him with theft of mail matter. A preliminary investigation of the shooting last Friday indicates deputies spoke with a woman at the residence who led them to Myers inside the home. Police said he was armed with a weapon and one of the officers fired, hitting him.
We'll have more of your local news headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
A Lexington restaurant works against the odds to employ people recovering from drug addiction. According to WKYT, 90% of DV8's kitchen employees have battled some sort of addiction within the last 2 years. Jason Gibson says working at DV8 has provided a support structure in his life.
In my 20s, it was opiates, Oxycontin, basically any opiate I could get my hands on. Lately, it became more of a meth addiction. I just hit a bottom. I was just tired of it. I couldn't do it on my own. I needed the accountability.
Restaurant owner Rob Perez says his business and employees get better each week.
The Rowan County Community Fund has received a challenge, which could end up leading to some important local improvements. Fund Board Chairman Tom Lewis says a group of people recently offered to give the organization $14,550 if it could find other donors to match that amount. The idea is to help the community fund's endowment move past the $100,000 mark. According to Lewis, if that goal is achieved, the board will begin accepting grant requests next year from Rauman Countyans, hoping to initiate some projects that would benefit others in the community.
We have really been focusing more up to this point on building capacity than we have on awarding gifts or actually giving money out to the community at this point, because we want to be able to have impact, and you can't have impact until you've got the capacity to have that kind of impact.
The Rauman County Community Fund is administered by the Bluegrass Community Foundation. To donate or for more information, you can call 859-225-3343.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city doesn't have a front-burner interest in partnering in a deal to buy the old Sunnybrook Golf Course from Moorhead State University. Rauman Judge Executive Walter Blevins has floated the idea that the county and the city should work together to buy the 200-acre site from MSU while it's still available and affordable. According to Trent, Moorhead has higher priorities right now, like building a new police and fire station and developing the so-called Perkins property next to Green Hill City Park.
I'm not going to say that, you know, the book is closed, but it's it's something that's a low priority in my feeling right now. But you never know. It's always good to keep your options open. And it's a large piece of land, relatively close to city. And, if a situation were to arise, like we'd, look at it and see if it fits into what we're trying to do.
Trent admits he's discussed the possible sale of Sunnybrook with Blevins and MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan, but stresses that no formal discussions or negotiations have been held.
Moorhead Drug Rehabilitation Center has received a community development block grant. The $200,000 grant was approved by the Department for Local Government to be awarded to the Moorhead Inspiration Center. The Recovery Center, which was founded in 2007, is the first rehabilitation center in the state of Kentucky to specialize in treating men recovering from substance abuse. Director Jason Jones says the funding will help further their progress in helping addicts recover.
The grant is to pay for the men's needs here. It provides part of the housing. It provides some of the meals. It provides all the curriculum that's needed for the clients, all the trainings that's needed for the staff here to help ensure that they're getting good treatment, evidence-based treatment. It's just something that the MIC here depends on.
Jones says the center could not have received the grant without the approval of the community and the mayor.
Lexington is using faith to combat the city's largest issues. People with 26 congregations gathered on Monday to discuss a variety of problems plaguing the Lexington community. The meeting was hosted by BUILD, or Building a United Interfaith Lexington Through Direct Action. The main issue discussed involved health care, education, and drugs, and the group voted to focus on the drug issue in 2018. Open Door Church pastor Adam Jones tells WKYT the issue of drugs hits very close to home.
We have seen an uptick in crime in our neighborhood, break-ins in our church personally, and we've seen arrests happen in our neighborhood of youth that we know that have been on drugs. And so it affects our network.
Members of BUILD are now researching drugs in order to develop an action plan. The coalition is hosting their annual Nehemiah Action Assembly on May 8th at Heritage Hall.
Much of the work on the Mountain Parkway Improvement Project is centered in Magoffin County right now, but workers have started extending that effort into another part of eastern Kentucky. Marshall Carrier is the manager for the project. Carrier is warning drivers that crews have begun earth moving, tree removal, and blasting around the highway in Morgan County.
And when that does happen, obviously the traffic will be held up in that area, but that's just essentially an effort to reduce cost on material removal. There's some pier work in Morgan County as well for the upcoming bridges, so when the people that haven't been in that area in a while, when they pass through, they'll certainly see a different landscape when they come through there.
The $750 million Mountain Parkway project will eventually improve 46 miles of that important route through eastern Kentucky. It's expected to be completed in the next 6 to 10 years. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, cloudy with a low around 37 degrees. On Wednesday, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 51. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 34. On Thursday, patchy fog before around 7 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 54. And on Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 29 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 45 degrees. Flemingsburg, 44. Inez, 46. Winchester, 44. Lexington, 45. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 45 degrees.
On today's feature segment, alternatives to youth detention are finding success in Ohio. Public News Service Mary Sherman has that story.
Putting kids who get into trouble on the right path can be challenging, and a newer approach to the problem is seeing great success in Ohio. This week, juvenile justice, child welfare, and public safety leaders are at the inaugural Ohio Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative Conference in Columbus. The initiative focuses on evidence-backed practices that can help safely reduce the number of youth in detention. State JDAI Administrator Regina Lurie says the initiative started in 5 Ohio counties 8 years ago, and now there are 10 involved.
In Ohio, we are making some great strides. We've reduced the number of commitments to the Department of Youth Services by 70%, and not only are less kids going in detention, their average length of stay is also being decreased by 26%.
Lurie says even short stays in detention can have a negative impact on a youth's mental and physical health, academic success, and financial outcomes as an adult. The JDAI model encourages better collaboration between systems involved in the juvenile justice process, as well as data-driven placement decisions and the use of community-based detention alternatives for nonviolent juvenile offenders. Jurisdictions involved in JDAI evaluate their internal systems, as well as the reasons youth are sent to detention and any underlying issues in the youth's life. Lurie explains that some Ohio counties discovered many kids being sent to detention based upon domestic violence cases.
They created alternatives so that they are addressing those family conflict issues, and those kids no longer have to come to detention. They still may be removed for a short period of time, kind of a cooling off period, but they've recognized that detention wasn't necessarily the best place for those kids.
JDAI was launched in the 1990s by the Annie E. Casey Foundation and has 300 sites nationally. In Ohio, Cuyahoga, Franklin, Lucas, Marion, Mahoney, Montgomery, Summit, and Trumbull counties are involved, and the initiative recently expanded into Ashtabula and Warren counties. Lurie is hopeful for even more expansion.
The conference gives non-JDAI sites an opportunity to learn about the not only national best practices, but some of the innovative things that the JDAI sites are doing within their own home state that they can learn from.
Nationally, participating JDAI sites report improvements in average daily detention population and public safety outcomes. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
It's 4:48 and 45 degrees on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm Leanne Akers, your host of Mountain Edition, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports after this.
Swing your partner at the Community Square Dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Monday, November 20th. Admission is $3 and free to students. Enjoy live music and beginner-friendly. All ages and ability levels are welcome. Sponsored by the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. Come to the Community Square Dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, November 20th.
Lesson learned. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Moorhead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin thinks the Eagles got an education in last night's 85-74 exhibition win against Cincinnati Christian at Johnson Arena. Up by as many as 19 points, Moorhead let CCU pull within 4 points a few times in the second half before taking charge at the end of the game. Spradlin says the Eagles can't go on cruise control when they have an opponent down.
I don't know how many times we'll be up 19 points this year. I just don't, with our youth and our inexperience and trying to find our way. So you can't let up. You can't let off the throttle. You can't break off from what we're trying to do defensively or offensively and try to do your own thing, because, like I said, teams keep coming, and so it's a good lesson for us to learn in that atmosphere there.
LaMontre Harris had 15 points to lead the Eagles, who shot 64% from the field in the win. MSU opens the regular season at 17th-ranked Xavier on Friday. The Kentucky basketball team gets the season started for real on Friday as well when they welcome Utah Valley into Rupp Arena. After three exhibition games, head coach John Calipari is still preaching his team has a long way to go.
We just got a lot of work to do to be able to feel a comfort level on the court. I don't want to have to call stuff every time down, but I will. We played our best when we were in running in a set, which I don't want to play that way, but we just got a long way to go. I mean, I'm not in a panic yet. I do have both feet on the panic button, but I'm not crazy yet.
Friday's game will be the first of three games in 5 days for the Cats, concluding with a matchup against number 4 Kansas next Tuesday. One other note from college basketball, Jeff Goodman of ESPN is reporting that UCLA freshman Jalen Hill, Cody Riley, and LiAngelo Ball, the brother of Lonzo Ball, have all been arrested for shoplifting in China. In the NBA, the Phoenix Suns have agreed to trade guard Eric Bledsoe to the Milwaukee Bucks for Greg Monroe and a 2018 protected first round and 2018 protected second round draft pick, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Bledsoe has been away from the Suns since October the 23rd after he tweeted, quote, "I don't want to be here." With two games to go in the 2017 season, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier wants his Eagles looking forward and not back. Tenier says MSU's 63-32 loss at Valparaiso back on October the 28th was caused by the Eagles' bad play on offense, defense, and special teams. He wants them now to feel the pain of that poor effort as they prepare for Saturday's PFL game at Marist.
You know, I think the important thing is that we come back with a little chip on our shoulder, that we're locked in, ready to practice this week, and just try and get better overall as a football team.
The MSU football team is 3-6 as they get ready to finish its 2017 worksheet. Looking back at Saturday's loss to Ole Miss, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says there are lots of things as Wildcats need to do better as they prepare for Saturday's game at Vanderbilt. However, one thing Stoops lacks is the balance UK's offense has been developing in recent games. He points out that the Cats passed the ball 38 times against the Rebels while running at 33.
Certainly being able to throw the football and being efficient in our passing game helps. And that's also a byproduct of being able to run the football as well. So I think now that we're running the ball effectively, it's opening some things up. So you have to be able to run. I think that's, you know, we've talked about that, but we are, you know, we're starting to be efficient in our run game and keeping people off balance.
The Cats will face Vandy looking for their 7th overall win this season. For the first time in 20 years, West Carter High School needs a new football coach. Kevin Brown says he decided at the end of last season that this would be his final year as the Comets coach.
God's been good to me. I've been blessed beyond measure to get to come back and coach and things at the high school I went to, the high school I played at. And, you know, we feel like that, you know, we're leaving the program in better shape than when we found it. And we'll continue to be part of the program. I just won't be the head coach or a teacher anymore.
Friday's 47-14 Class 3A playoff loss was Brown's final game at the Comets' helm. In his final season, he led West Carter to a 5-6 record. While admitting the Vikings had their ups and downs during their 3-8 campaign this fall, Round coach Kelly Ford says there was one thing that he really liked about his team. According to Ford, no matter what, his young Vikings stuck together.
They stay tight. They stay tight as a family and continue to grind every day. They you know, we had some bumps in the road on the way, but continued to work and made themselves better. One thing about this young group has heart. They have heart, and they love to play the game of football.
Ford says the Vikings now need to stick together in their offseason weightlifting and conditioning programs as they prepare for the 2018 season. Finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team faces rival Eastern Kentucky in OVC action in about an hour at Weatherby Gym. EKU got the best of the Eagles last month in Richmond, with MSU falling 3-0. Head coach Jamie Gordon hopes to see a better performance this evening.
Had a really good performance against us earlier on in the season. I'm sure that's something that they're going to attempt to duplicate. We didn't necessarily put forward the type of game that we want to and that we were accustomed to that afternoon. So we're going to try and fix some things on that end.
MSU is 13-14 on the year, 4-10 in OVC play. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Volleyball hosts Eastern Kentucky tonight at 6 and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Also on Saturday, women's basketball hosts Sacramento State at 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks were mixed while media companies shined as investor sentiment was lifted by the prospects of deal-making within the media sector, and the Dow Industrials did manage a modest gain of 8.81 at 23,557.23. The S&P 500 was down 0.49 at 2590.64, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.65 at 6767.78. And today's gain by the Dow did mark another all-time closing high for the blue-chip average. Deal-making hopes were stoked by news yesterday that Disney approached 21st Century Fox on a deal, and Fox itself was up 1.5% today, and the prospects of this deal helped lift all media stocks today, as shares of Discovery Communications jumped 1.3%, CBS shares were up 1.14%, and Disney stock also finished higher, as it was up 1% and was the best-performing stock among the Dow Jones Industrial stocks today. Your broader market, as mentioned, weaker than the media sector, although many of your major tech stocks today, such as Google, or I should say Google parent Alphabet, Amazon, and Facebook, were up. But the broader, of course, the NASDAQ Composite was down, so the broader tech sector was weaker today. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2% at $57.23 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,276.90 an ounce. And in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stock 600 index down 0.5%. In Asia, markets were up, with the Nikkei up 1.75% and the Hang Seng index up 1.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Procter & Gamble, while the worst performers were J.P. Morgan and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were GGP and Macerich, and the worst performers were TripAdvisor and Priceline. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.23 at $66.16, CSX up 67 cents at $51.82, AEP up $1.39 at $75.12, AK Steel down 10 cents at $4.25, Marathon Petroleum up 77 cents at $63.12, and U.S. Bancorp is down $1.39 to finish at $53.46. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Enjoy a modern-day holiday classic when Elf Jr. The Musical is presented at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. Produced by and starring Montgomery County school students, showtimes are 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday, November 17th and 18th, 2:30 p.m. Sunday, November 19th. Tickets are $8 for adults, $5 for students, children under 6 admitted free. Tickets and information online at grackentucky.org.
Taking a look at some events that are coming up in your region, MSU Theater and Dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts presents Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance by MSU Opera, directed and conducted by Dr. Roma Prindle. Performances are November 8th through the 11th at 7:30 p.m. in the Duncan Recital Hall inside the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Tickets are priced at $5 and the public is invited.
There will be an AARP Smart Driver course at the Rowan County Courthouse from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. this Thursday. The cost is $15 for AARP members and $20 for non-members. Bring a copy of your driver's license and membership card.
Eat Gallery in downtown Maysville will host an open house from 7 p.m. on Friday, November 10th, featuring live music by Harry Pettigo. New custom-made jewelry designs will be on display and free refreshments. The event is open to the public. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Sean Delaney, Arlo Barnett, Brandon Smith, Logan Pemberton, Cody Robinson, Ellen Barnett, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from Kentucky News Connections' Mary Sherman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.